You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate
and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world.
And now, innovation thought leader
and your super fly host,
Tamara Kleinberg.
Okay, I'm so excited today. I am here with Vivica Von Rosen, internationally known as the LinkedIn expert and is the author of two best-selling books on LinkedIn. As a contributing expert to LinkedIn's blog, she is often called on to contribute to publications like, Forbes, Money, Entrepreneur. You probably heard of some of those. She's taken the business knowledge she has perfected over the past 10 plus years and transformed it into engaging and informational training, providing over 100,000 people, that's a lot, strategies they need to succeed on LinkedIn. Vivica, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Me too. I'm so glad we connected again.
This is great. Yeah. So let's just start with, because I don't think that's something you often see on someone's resume.
Right.
How did you become a LinkedIn expert?
So it was a combination of timing. I got in early, opportunity, luck, a lot of luck, and networking and community and coming into really what was in 2006, 2007, a whole new industry and being able to grow up with some of the coolest people, I think, in the industry. And so I chose the LinkedIn niche mainly because I'm graphically impaired. And so it's like Facebook and Twitter were too visual.
Too much.
Exactly. And LinkedIn at the time was like, blue writing on a white background. So, I miss those days.
Oh, right.
Thank God for Canva and all of the new tools that we have.
For sure.
That help those of us who are impaired in various different ways, like I am with graphics. So yeah, no, to me, LinkedIn made a lot of sense because I worked in the business-to-business world. Mm-hmm. And when I transferred out of my day job into doing this full-time, I was actually doing a lot of face-to-face networking and stuff. LinkedIn is a business tool, is a networking tool, is a kind of a B2B and B2C, but I was just in the B2B space, business to business space. Just made sense.
LinkedIn is such a powerful tool and I use it. I probably scratch the surface in all truth. Talk to us a little bit about, with all your expertise, what makes LinkedIn so incredibly powerful? Because it's one of those things that I look at and I go, I know it is. I'm just not even sure what I'm doing, but I know it is. But what makes it so powerful?
Right. Well, the upside and the downside is it really is a business tool. Before it's a social networking site, that's also the downside because it's not fun and exciting and sexy. So, right? And so it's easy for us to get excited about Instagram or excited about Facebook or excited about Twitter or excited about Snapchat or excited about what... Right, they're sexy. They're fun. We enjoy doing them. It assuages us, it endorphins. They actually say, I was just listening to a report that was talking about the fact that, social media actually satisfies endorphins that we've lost because we're not having personal engagement anymore. And it's addictive. It's actually addictive. Whereas LinkedIn is not addictive. I don't think you're going to hear anyone say, I'm addicted to LinkedIn. Not even me. Like, I have to get it on every day. It's addicting. And
God, you're so right. It doesn't give you that same rush that being on Facebook does. It gets you business.
It's and it's funny because the way you do LinkedIn is similar to the way you do Facebook and the other social media sites. Is it's just a way to get your face and your name out there and to kind of build rapport with your ideal prospects. But where it really shined is that it is a business networking site, so you're not going to have a lot of people who are not in the business world on LinkedIn. And the advanced search, which is going away, but the advanced search, at least for right now, helps you find those exact right people. And so you really do have the opportunity to find the right people. And then if they're active on LinkedIn, you have a great opportunity to engage with them and warm up that relationship and warm up that interaction so that when you reach out and not only to connect, but when you reach out for the phone call, they're more likely to pick up the phone or respond to an email.
Do you find that connecting with people on LinkedIn and building that relationship there, that they're more... I guess, open to the communication than they are if I just, I don't know, found their email and sent them a cold email.
Yeah. I mean, it has like a 23% higher open rate than regular cold email. So most definitely, of course, it means that the people that you're messaging or in-mailing on LinkedIn have to be on LinkedIn, or they have to have their notifications turned on. So, you know, there's about a 50-50% chance of that happening, but it's still a higher open rate than email. And of course, the more diligent you are, the more consistent you are with your leads, the better chance eventually that they will actually open a message that you send them. And the thing about LinkedIn, again, which is different than Facebook, is LinkedIn, I recommend you really focus on your top 100, 200 leads or prospects, not the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000, you know, that you're trying to get maybe on Facebook. So it really is about that personal interaction and relationship.
So why should I not just be on LinkedIn, but actually be active? Because I'm guessing there's a difference, right?
Right. So a lot of people will get on LinkedIn. They might throw up their resume, and I mean throw up because it looks very good. Also, my husband has a stomach flu, so it's just in my head. Sorry, I know everyone has it. One step too far, Von Rosen. That's call me. But truly, you know, when you create a LinkedIn profile, it is your personal brand.
Yeah.
It is a reflection. Alexa just went off. It is a reflection of who you are. And so if you've got a mediocre or no profile or a poor profile, it is reflecting badly. And that credibility is actually costing you business. So yeah, you have to have a good profile, but then that's not enough. It is about creating relationships. You can't create a relationship by standing in a room and going like this, right? You actually have to
engage.
And it could be as simple. It could be as simple as commenting on the updates or the posts that some of your prospects are sharing. Or if they're not sharing, like, because not everyone is active on LinkedIn. If they're not sharing, then at least, like, you know, reach out and invite them to connect, give them some endorsements. You know, maybe see if they're active on other social media sites and give them some feedback on what you've seen in other social media sites. What you don't want to do is, hi, my name's Vivica. Do you want to do some LinkedIn training? Because I'm like awesome and you suck and you should totally hire me, which is the average in mail, right? It's like, buy me a drink first, you know? Like, it's just people come into LinkedIn and they're like, oh, there's a prospect. I'm going to go sell them my crap. Well, that person doesn't know you. They don't know anything about you. They don't know anything about your services. They might not feel like they need your service. So going in there and trying to hard sell someone or cold sell someone on LinkedIn doesn't usually work. You really have to just engage a little bit to warm that up, relationship up.
I almost printed them out. I have so many funny emails from people.
Oh, God, right?
I always start with, Dear Tamara, I can see by your profile you are a thought leader and successful businesswoman. I'm like, really? Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
So let's back up for a second. I have so many questions swimming. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about what should and shouldn't be in my profile. I always struggle with that of, you know, what is like marketing BS in my profile? You know, like just the stuff that you're like, oh, it sounds good versus stuff that you really should have there to your point, kind of build your brand.
Right, exactly. So one thing that, and someone is still teaching this and it drives me nuts. And I had someone come, I wrote an article on it the other day and they said, you know, that's really, that you're not really showing your expertise by bringing that thing up because, you know, it's so obvious that people shouldn't do that. And I'm like, well, people are still doing it, so I'm still going to bring it up. And if you don't think I'm an expert, what the hell? And that thing is putting something other than your last name in the last name field. And the reason we used to do that was because it helped to get you found on Google and helped to get you found on LinkedIn. But that is not the case anymore, number one. And number two, it goes against LinkedIn's end user agreement. And I know this because I myself did it as well. And my profile was blacklisted for like 6 or 7 years. So as far as content, you were asking, you know, what's kind of marketing bullshit or anyway, you can edit that out. Okay, it is. And you know, basically, it's the mirror test. If I was reading this on someone else's profile, would I start gagging a little bit? And so your profile needs to be balanced between a resume and something, some really, really cheesy sales letter. So just be authentic. And the main thing that I would say as far as the copy that you create, you know, your summary section, your experience section, even your education and your projects is always, always, always focus on the benefits of your ideal audience. So another mistake people have is going on LinkedIn without an idea of who their audience is, right? Yeah. So they go on to LinkedIn and they're like, I can sell anything to anyone and I'm all about me and you should totally buy from me and I can help anyone with a face or a computer.
And that's awesome.
I'm awesome. I'm a LinkedIn expert. That's what my Twitter handle says. But what you need to do then is prove it's true, number one. So testimonials, recommendations, endorsements, uploading video testimonials or written testimonials, all of these things are other people saying that you're awesome, right?
Yeah. I thought about that on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right. Why wouldn't I? It's on my website. Why wouldn't I there?
And if you've got testimonials on your website, you can see if those individuals are on LinkedIn and then just copy and paste the testimonial from your website into a recommendation request and say, hey, you did this for my website. Would you do it for LinkedIn too? If they're not on LinkedIn or you're not first level connections or they're not responding to your, you know, your invitations to connect because you have to be a first level connection, you can take a picture of that testimonial and upload it as an image, right?
Yeah.
So other people saying you're great really helps. But knowing who you serve is even more important, right? So having a really good idea of who you serve, having examples of people like them who you've helped, throwing some numbers and percentages in, you know, we raised the bottom line this much, we earned them this much money,
actual results
and having those actual results and the benefits of your process, of your product or your service or your whatever it is that you do, having that and using that in the summary section, in the experience section, the project section, that's going to convert a lot more people than just, I'm awesome and here's my resume.
Right. Yeah.
Buy a car. Like, don't tell me there's four-wheel, you know, disc brakes. Tell me I'm not going to slide off the road and kill my family. Colorado. Like, play on that without being cheesy and gross and salesy.
So let's talk, there's kind of two levels I want to talk about with how to use LinkedIn. Well, there's really three. One is, I'd love to hear how, so I'll just throw them all out and then you can tell me where you want to start. One is, I'd love to hear some of the tactics that you use that really work to grow your business through LinkedIn. Yeah. The second thing is, if I'm inside a company, but I want to build my personal brand and my network, how do I use it?
Yeah.
And the third one is, and the reason I want to throw them out all at once is maybe they're interconnected.
Yeah, exactly.
The third one is, I'm an entrepreneur or a business owner or salesperson, whatever, and I want to use it for new business leads. Will you talk a little bit about those three and how we should be thinking about using LinkedIn for any one of those?
Right. And it's, thank you for bringing that up. And it's really that, it's personal branding, networking, and then it's engagement. We'll talk about some of the different things that I do that help bring business in. So the personal brand, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're an intrapreneur, whether you're an employee, you don't really have a desire to create a brand around yourself, but you still are an employee at a company.
I think we all know as an employee, you still want to keep your network going.
You still need to keep your network going, right?
Yeah.
So, and you still need to look credible.
Right.
Even if you don't think you're customer facing, if you're an employee, you're not customer facing, maybe you're an engineer and you're like, well, why would I care about LinkedIn? Well, because you may not have that job at HP forever.
Right.
And you know, you want recruiters to be prospecting you. You know, you don't
great
you
point.
Treasure. You don't want to be the one doing the hunting. So having a personal brand, whether you're an entrepreneur, intrapreneur, employee, solopreneur, business owner, CEO of a huge corporation, that personal branding is so important, which is why I wrote the new book. And some of the things that you can do, very simple, create a background image, right? We have them on Twitter. We have them on Facebook. We have them on everywhere, except for apparently, even though there's a space for it, most people don't think about adding a background image on LinkedIn. And while a background image is better than no background image, so someone who's got a green screen behind her right now, while a background image is better than no background image, why not add some branding? So if you have your own business, obviously.
Put that there.
Right.
You
want
your
logo and your contact information.
Right.
If you're an intrapreneur, if you work within a company, see if the company is willing to create a branded background image for you. If they're not, do something, right? Because a lot of companies don't think about it, but if you ask them, they will.
And what great marketing for the company.
Oh, yeah.
For them to have all their great employees promoting the brand on LinkedIn too.
Exactly. Exactly right. you know, and if none of those are an option, then at least pick something that's reflective of your business. Yeah. Not necessarily, you know, it's great if you have kite surfing in your background image, but unless you're a kite surf, you know, surfing manufacturer, right, it's probably better if you're a software engineer to have something that's more software-y.
Yeah, right.
Around there. So creating that personal image, like I said before, using the different written sections of your profile to really promote the benefits of working with you as an employee or as a business owner. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, really.
Right.
Adding that media to prove you are what you say you are. Again, doesn't matter if you're an employer or a business owner, having that media, that, you know, product demonstrations you can upload, interviews, anything that's online, as long as it's positive, you can upload, images you can upload,
a
picture of your degree.
Something, you know, that best represents you and the work that you do.
Exactly. So that all helps with your personal brand, which builds the credibility, because the last thing you want is something going to your profile and going,
no,
next,
swipe
left.
I bet you that's happening to more people than they realize, because they've got the half photo that they pulled from them and their bestie out on a Friday night. They're not using their, I mean, it sounds like they're missing space where they could be branding.
Oh, huge amount. Yeah. And they're not telling their story, and they're not telling people why they should hire them. And people are literally like swiping left, you know, it's like delete.
Next.
So, yeah, exactly. So create a good, strong personal brand. That's the first thing. The second thing is create a network. And I get this question all the time. Do I accept everyone who invites me to connect? Well, no, why would you? So you don't have to know everyone. There's a middle ground, right? I used to be what's known as a LinkedIn open network or a lion. I just, anyone who invited me to connect, come on in.
That's what a lion is.
That's what a lion is, a LinkedIn open networker. The problem is now I have 30,000 people in my network, and I spend about $200 a month on my assistant just deleting people so I can bring new people in, because there's a 2,000 cap. Which, if you've been on LinkedIn, it's not because I'm awesome. It's because I've been on LinkedIn for 10 plus years. That's what happens. So that's the thing, is if someone can help you build your business, i.e. they're a potential client, they're a past client, they're an existing client, they would be a good vendor for you, they might be a good JV, joint venture partner, they might be a good strategic partner, they might be a good employer one day. Those people, absolutely, come on in, right? They might be in media,
right?
They might be bloggers or vloggers, or they might be able to do some media for you or PR, free PR for you. Come on in. Everybody else, you know, you can literally say, hey, my network's getting a little bit too big. You know, you look like a really nice, because you can actually hit reply before you just ask someone. You know, you look like you're a really nice person, but, you know, I'm my network's too big. You know, if you really want to connect, just let me know why, and I'll think about it. You don't have to be so, but, you know, let me know if you want to connect, or tell me why you want to connect. And in the meantime, here's some free resources. So you can actually send a sales letter without having to connect with someone. But not a sales, not a, like a cheesy, it's always about value, providing value. But and the chances are, if someone does not reply to you when you say, hey, can you let me know why you want to connect? Yeah, you were just a number. You were just a name in a list that they uploaded.
So I just have to break you for a second, because I think what you're saying is so important. Mm-hmm. And for the listeners and watchers out there, to actually be have some criteria and be a little bit picky about people in your network. So I will admit that I've probably been a little bit loose.
Yeah.
I don't have a picture, I never accept, because come on, put a picture.
Like, yeah, I know. Exactly.
You know, I can't connect it. But I don't know that I've been much pickier beyond that, but I like what you're saying. I mean, if this is my online version of my community, why would I let everybody in?
Exactly. And it's not necessarily, because who really takes the time to like look at all your connections if you've even made them visible? So it's not really a matter of, oh, I don't want to be associated with that person. It's, there are limits. And the other thing is, you know, the bigger your network is, the less attention you're paying to the people who really count.
Yeah.
And so that's another reason, right? Yeah. So one of the things I love about the current LinkedIn, which they're getting rid of, is the ability to tag your network. So similar to Twitter lists or Facebook lists, so you can associate a tag with a person and then sort your connections by that tag. LinkedIn's getting rid of that. Except for in Sales Navigator, the premium account. So there's free tools though that you can use. The one I recommend is called Duck Soup, DUX-SOUP. It's a Chrome extension. So that's DUX-SOUP. And that Chrome extension allows you to tag and take notes on your prospects. Since LinkedIn is getting rid of that lovely feature. I mean, LinkedIn used to have such a nice little CRM system, and slowly they've been getting rid of those features, and they're gone completely with the new user interface. So free app that will help you manage that. I also use a tool called Nimble, which is $25 a month, and NIMBLE, which is a whole social CRM system, which is really, there's just a bunch of really cool stuff with that. Oh. And then I've upgraded to Sales Navigator, but I don't know that that's going to be the solution for everybody. But having a way to manage your network so that you can keep in touch with the people who count is really, really important. And it's probably a step that people don't even know that you can do, much less actually take action on. And that'd be the final part, taking action, right? So whether it's sending a private message to an ideal client, just kind of keeping, or ideal prospect, just kind of keeping in touch with them regularly, or whether it's sending an update, you know, just clicking on that share on LinkedIn and sharing an update or two a day, that really builds the visibility of your profile. Or, and this is one of my favorite things, is the publisher app that is within LinkedIn, right? That's your ability to take, for those of you who are bloggers or content creators of any sort, you can take that content and embed it right into LinkedIn for other people to view, like, share, and share with their audiences. And, you know, sometimes you might get 50 views, but sometimes it might go, it's somewhat ironic. I've actually hired someone, because I'm busy. So I've hired someone. There's a really cool tool called Zerys, ZERYS.com. And so I'll give an outline of an article that I want written. They will write it for me, and then I'll go in and put my own voice on it and tweak it a little bit. So instead of taking 3 hours to write a nice hefty piece of content, it takes me like an hour.
Even better.
All inclusive, right? And then I can pop the content. So this last article I wrote has probably gone more viral than anything. And it was something that essentially someone else wrote. Go figure.
Wow, but it was your thoughts, right?
But it was my thoughts, and it was my editing, and it was my voice in the end. But I just thought, oh, that's ironic. But
Maybe just goes to show you that we should actually get other people to help us write, because maybe that's not our strong point.
Yeah, Well, I'm actually a really good writer, right? I got 3 books. I write all the time, but I'm so busy that I was not putting the time and effort into my pieces, and so when someone else, like, put the words in, and then I could work it a little bit, that made a big difference. Plus, there was a little bit more of a 30,000 foot view, because some of the things that I thought in this article were kind of like obvious. They obviously weren't obvious, because a lot of people, you know, it went a little bit viral. So Publisher is a really, really good tool. Sometimes it goes viral, sometimes it doesn't. But here's the thing. If you track your analytics on your blog, what you will notice is, even though you get significantly less views probably on LinkedIn, you'll get significantly more engagement on LinkedIn, because it's easy, right? And so anytime someone engages with your blog post, it gives you an opportunity to start a conversation, which could lead to business, especially if they're a key prospect. And then finally, you could put your contact information in there and or a calendar link. So you could, I don't do it anymore because I literally got too many leads, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, you could say, hey, you know, if you like this article and you want to talk more about, you know, business planning in 2017, here's a link. Please set up a 15-minute conversation with me. Looking forward to it. Yep. And I mean, it'll just, the leads can go crazy.
God, that's a fantastic idea. So I'm glad you mentioned the publisher, because I wanted to ask you about it. I'm trying to use it more.
Yes.
Because it seems like when I put something in a status, it scrolls, right? It's like, it just scrolls by.
Yeah,
so if they saw it, great, but chances are they didn't.
Right.
But when I put a post up, and whether it's like a shortened version of a post to get them to my website or the full thing or whatever,
right,
seems to get more engagement. So do they see it more? Is it in their
phone?
How does that happen?
So it lives forever in your profile, number one.
Yeah.
And then people can click on see more. So it's evergreen. It's also searchable. So I have to check that on. It might not be searchable in the new user interface. It's searchable in the old user interface. So your content is findable. So if someone's looking for a LinkedIn expert, well, my profile might show up, but also a few articles I've written about being a profile, a LinkedIn expert. And that's proof, right? It's like, if you read that and you go, oh yeah, she knows what she's talking about, then
right.
Bam, there you go. So and it's visually more appealing. However, the biggest mistake that people make is they hit publish, they send the update out, and they go, okay, where's all the views? It's not one and done. You need to share your post just like you would your blog post. You probably don't hit print, you know, or hit post and think, okay, come on in.
Right.
You know,
right.
You've got to use, well, you don't have to, but I would recommend using some kind of scheduling tool. And then you get that post out as an update daily for a week, then three times a week for the next week, and then twice a week for the week after that, and then weekly for the next year, as long as it's evergreen information. You just schedule that puppy out, and it will just keep rebirthing, as it were, that post on people's timeline, so that they actually do see it. And then, as I said, it does live forever on your profile. So that gets your profile more views, and that means more business.
So let me ask you this as a tactic, because this is something we started doing. So I'll publish something on LinkedIn, on the publisher, and then I will take that link and I'll put it on my other social media sites.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because okay, my thought is, so tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. My thought is, if they're on LinkedIn and they like the post, they don't know me, they're probably going to check out my profile, which is the best way to go, wow, look at all this innovation work that she does. Because sometimes I feel like the hard sell is getting me to go to someone's website. Like, it's almost too much for me, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's funny how we work that way, but, you know, asking you to go to my website when you don't know me and peruse seems like, you know, I'm going to dessert and we haven't even
we haven't had dinner yet, exactly. Yeah.
And I mean my food.
Well, you're making me eat vegetables without any promise of dessert.
I mean, come
forget
on.
Forget about it.
I'm only eating my greens if there is dessert coming.
Exactly.
So if I were to do one thing on LinkedIn, so let's say I've got my profile nailed down and now I'm ready to use the LinkedIn community. What's one thing I should start doing? Because, you know, like any online community, you could get sucked in for days.
Yeah.
So give me one thing that you think I should do.
I would say find your top, and you can do this every week or, you know, however you need to, but find your top 10 prospects, save them however you want to save them. On the old user interface, you can still save them. On the new user interface, you'll probably have to save their URL in a favorites folder on Chrome. I mean, there's always workarounds, right?
Right.
Save them however you want to save them. And then every day, take 1 minute per lead and reach out to them in some way, whether it is a message. Well, don't do that every day, but whether, you know, it's a combination. I'm watching you
tomorrow.
Hey, whether it's you know, maybe twice a month, a private message or a like, or
a resource they might like,
like some way, not even every day, but choose your top 10 people and then maybe choose two a day to engage with, but really start building up that relationship so that after a week or two, you feel comfortable asking for a phone call with them.
Yeah,
and
I
then from the phone. Yeah. And if you just, people get overwhelmed because they're thinking thousands of people. No, I'm talking 10 people a week who you're engaging with maybe two or three times a week. And that's it until you get to the phone call and then that they convert into, you know, potentially a new client for you.
Yeah. And I think that is extremely, extremely great. Is that a phrase? I don't know. I think that is wonderful advice. Whether you are trying to do a new business lead or just, you know, there are people that influencers in our networks that we should know.
We should just
because to your point, right, the job may not last forever, or maybe you bring something new to the work and shine and you need other people in your network to make that happen.
Exactly.
So I love that. And I love that just two a day and really nailing it down. I mean, I'm I am by no means up to your level. I think I have 2,500, 3,000, something like that in my network.
That's a good number. Yeah.
Well, and it's already overwhelming.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like 30, forget it. I mean, that's one of the reasons I upgraded to Sales Navigator, because it kind of rests on top of LinkedIn, which used to bother me before. I'm like, can it be more integrated?
Right.
But I actually like that it's not like 100% integrated. It's still a LinkedIn product, obviously. But
right.
It kind of rests on top. So I've got my 30,000. I've got my mass of 30,000 people down here, but then I've got my 100 people who are actually high quality leads for me that I've saved as leads. And I can very easily, because Link, that's how Sales Navigator work. It feeds me their activity, actions, and what they're up to. And if they've been mentioned in the news, it's awesome. And I can tag and take notes, and I can see people like them and continue to build those ideal prospects. Because really on LinkedIn, it comes down to finding the right people.
Right.
And then building a relationship with them, and then building relationships with people like them, until you have a healthy business.
Right. That's so good. So let's talk in our closing time, let's talk a little bit about your book. So you just wrote a new book.
It's yep.
I've kind of seen a little bit of the preview of it. So talk to us a little bit about what it is, what it includes.
I have it somewhere.
It's there.
I have it, like,
it's
all these places. So, so LinkedIn, 101 Ways to Rock Your Personal Brand.
Yeah.
And then it talks about networking and engagement too. But it really, it's lightweight, but it's not lightweight, right? So the new book, I'm like, I'm self-publishing. It could be whatever I want. So I actually did it with my friend Dana Steele, who's got a series called 101 Ways to Rock. So everything from 101 Ways to Rock Your Travel to Havana, Cuba, to 101 Ways to Rock Your... Anyway, so we did LinkedIn 101 Ways to Rock Your Personal Brand. Each page is a tip. And then there's a screenshot, tip. Screenshot, space to take notes, tip, quote, you know. So it's, you can, I don't know why you would, but you could sit down and read the whole thing in 2 hours as compared to the other book, which would have been like 4 weeks.
And take action on it too.
And you can take action. And it's small, it's easy, you can throw it in your purse. Obviously we have Kindle version 2. But it's super easy to access. And I think that's the big thing is, if it's not accessible and implementable, you're not going to do it. It's very, very accessible and usable, but it does. It's 101 tips, things that you can do to increase your credibility on LinkedIn, ways that you can reach out, engage to people on LinkedIn, how to use Publisher, how to use updates, some resources that I like, just advice. So there's all kinds of things to support you in your activities on LinkedIn, in your personal branding, networking, and engagement.
That's so great. So where can I get the book?
Amazon's probably the best place to get it. I mean,
so what I would encourage, or maybe challenge the watchers and the listeners to do, is to go get the book on Amazon and then do five things in it. Like not all 101, just five things.
No, exactly.
See the transformation. Well, I think all 101 would be great, but let's start with five.
Let's start with the first five.
And see the change it makes. See if you get more requests to connection with people that you want. Yeah. See if you get more people looking at your posts, because I bet you in doing them. I'm going to go do it and go put my LinkedIn to the test, because I'm not so sure.
There you go.
I got something right, but I'm not sure I have all things right. Yet I know it's, one of the reasons why I wanted to interview you is Laura, who, runs the show.
Exactly.
And, we've had these conversations about really, LinkedIn's one of our main, it's our focus this year in terms of marketing, not Facebook, not Twitter, like, that's all great.
Yeah.
But we know that LinkedIn gets us business. So how do you, it got me into Disney years ago. I reached out to someone at Disney.
Go figure, right?
So, So then I stopped doing it like I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
So, hello, you got into Disney. It works.
It works.
How should people out there, if they want to connect with you, so they're going to go on to Amazon and buy the book.
Tell
them all too. It's my Jedi mind trick.
Exactly.
What else can they do?
So the website, if you're not ready to invest, but it's like only $15, on my website, linkedintobusiness.com, there's an opt-in for the 8 deadly LinkedIn mistakes, why they're costing you money and what to do about it.
I read those.
Right?
I might be doing some of those.
Well, one of them is the something in your last name other than the last name field. It's not your fault. Like a lot of the mistakes that people are making, it is absolutely not.
Because someone told us to make them.
Someone told you to make them, or it seemed logical, or it works on Facebook, so it should work on LinkedIn too, which is not always the case.
Right.
So and it's an easy read. Again, you can probably read it in about an hour and implement, because it's not just what you're doing wrong, it's how to fix it. So I would definitely recommend downloading that ebook. And then if you really really want to deep dive, I've got a program called High Quality LinkedIn Leads, which takes you through everything we talked about and more. And it's, you know, it's a 5-module. The modules have little mini videos within them, lessons within them, but it takes you everything from building a stellar profile to creating, you know, immense credibility in your profile to where people begin to think of you as a thought leader to what are the best ways to find those high quality leads. So you're not wasting a bunch of time on people who don't deserve it. Yeah. Much like dating. And then it's actually got embedded within it, a 10-step system with resources and swipe files and templates and checklists and everything you need. So that system will just like walk you through everything, but get the 8 deadly LinkedIn mistakes first, purchase the book. I think that's a great resource. And then if you need more support along the way, there's the program too.
So my last question for you, and we will put all of that in the show notes. So it's everywhere so that, you know, people didn't hide, if they're in their car listening. So what's one thing, personal, hobby, whatever, that we would be surprised to learn about you?
So we were actually talking about this before, before we started today. I have taken up hang gliding again.
Yeah,
I used to be a pilot back in, you know, 25 years ago, half my lifetime ago. I used to fly hang gliders. So my husband and I, or my fiance, because we also got, oh crap. Well, the kids should know by then.
They'll know.
I'm like, wait, no one knows. But by the time this airs, they'll know. They better know. Now we have a date.
Right, there you go. Now you have a deadline. Done.
But yeah, so we're we've taken up hang gliding together. So
that's so exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And scary. I don't. Oh, it makes my heart beat a little faster just to hear it.
I know, but it's funny. I'm like, I asked Alan the other day, I'm like, oh my God, we were scuba divers. Now we're hang gliding pilots and we ski. Like, could we just do a cheap sport? Like,
I mean,
hiking,
right?
Like, surely, I mean, I live in Colorado. Can't just hiking be fulfilling? Like, do I have to do all these? This is why I need to build my business to
support your habits.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, Vivica, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for this great insights. And I would, again, I encourage listeners and watchers out there, if you're serious about growing your or building the right personal brand and growing your business and network, to invest in Vivica's expertise, because they're amazing. I know, I've been, like I said, stalking for years. and investing the time in LinkedIn, because it really is like Facebook. Like you said, Facebook is sexy and fun, but LinkedIn is booked. So
absolutely.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.